I remember how ordinary the night first appeared when I reviewed it, because nothing in the footage suggested how quickly it would collapse into absence. And I remember thinking, how many cases begin that way? With a person framed by fluorescent light, surrounded by movement, and still somehow alone, as if the space itself were already loosening its grip. The camera angle was fixed and indifferent, recording a brief stop that should have ended in nothing more than a receipt and a quiet drive away. Yet when I slowed it down and watched it breathe, frame by frame, I could feel time starting to stretch, not forward, but outward, widening into a gap that would later swallow phone pings, digital footprints, and the expectations of everyone who loved her. There was no violence on the screen, no raised voices, no obvious threat, only the subtle rearrangement of moments that would later be measured in miles, hours, and data points. And as I traced those fragments back through records and reports, I understood that this case would never hinge on a single dramatic act, but on what happened when movement replaced stillness and a young woman did not make it home. Her name was Enea Blanchard. I first came to understand who Enea Blanchard was by reading statements that never intended to explain a crime because they were written before anyone believed one had occurred. Friends described her as independent and focused, someone who managed school, work, and family with a kind of forward momentum that left little room for drama. Those accounts were consistent across interviews, not because they were rehearsed, but because they reflected a pattern of behavior that could be confirmed through schedules, employment records, and her own digital history. Enea was a student at Southern Union State Community College, where she was enrolled in classes while also working to support herself. She held a job at a daycare center and another at a retail store, and her routine showed regularity rather than chaos. When I reviewed her class attendance, work shifts, and communications, there was no indication of conflict or fear leading up to the night she disappeared, only the ordinary pressure of balancing responsibilities. Her connection to the public eye came through her family, specifically her stepfather, a professional mixed martial arts fighter whose career placed their family in occasional headlines. That detail mattered later, not because it changed the facts, but because it changed the volume. From the beginning, however, the case was not built on celebrity, but on timestamps, locations, and verified movements. On the night of October 23, 2019, Enea left class and began driving through Auburn, Alabama. Phone data later confirmed her route, matching the usual pattern she followed when traveling between school, work, and home. At some point that evening, she stopped at a Chevron gas station on East University Drive, a location that would later become fixed in every reconstruction of her final known movements. The gas station itself was unremarkable, positioned along a busy road and illuminated by overhead lighting that cast hard shadows on the pavement. Surveillance cameras covered the pumps and parking area, capturing activity in wide angles that recorded movement but not intention. When I first watched the footage, I focused on timing rather than faces, because time was the one element no one could reinterpret. Enea arrived alone in her vehicle, exited briefly, and then returned inside. She did not appear distressed, rushed, or distracted. There was no visible altercation, no one approaching her aggressively, and nothing in her posture suggested awareness of danger. These observations were consistent across multiple reviews by different investigators, and they were supported by the absence of any emergency calls or alarms from the location. What mattered most about that stop was not what happened on camera, but what did not. Enea did not leave the gas station in her own vehicle, and that absence was confirmed hours later when her car was located abandoned in Montgomery. The distance between those two points would become the first measurable gap in the case, a span that had to be filled with evidence rather than assumption. Her family realized something was wrong when she failed to respond to calls and messages. Phone records show repeated attempts to reach her, escalating in frequency as the night wore on. Those unanswered calls formed a timeline of concern, marking the transition from expectation to alarm. Law enforcement was notified, and the case shifted from a welfare check to a missing person investigation. From the beginning, investigators treated the disappearance as suspicious, not because of any single red flag, but because the combination of an abandoned vehicle, unanswered communications. And deviation from routine suggested intervention by another party. As I reviewed the initial reports, what stood out was the restraint in the language used by responding officers. There were no conclusions drawn, no dramatic phrasing, only observations logged with times and locations. That restraint would prove critical later, when every early assumption would be tested against evidence. Search efforts began quickly, involving local police, state agencies, and volunteers. The focus remained on locating Ania, not on assigning Blaine, and every lead was evaluated through verification rather than intuition. Digital evidence, including phone data and surveillance footage, became central, not because it told a story, but because it established boundaries within which the story had to fit. At that stage, the case was still defined by uncertainty. Ania Blanchard was missing, her last confirmed location known, and the hours following that moment remained unaccounted for. Everything else, including motive and outcome, remained unknown. The investigation shifted decisively when surveillance footage from the gas station was fully reviewed and cross-referenced with other cameras in the area. I remember the process being methodical rather than dramatic, because each clip had to be verified, timed, and placed in sequence. The goal was not to find something shocking, but to establish continuity. One segment of footage showed a man arriving at the gas station in a vehicle that did not match Ania's. His movements were recorded indirectly, captured in the background rather than the center of the frame. This mattered, because it meant the footage had to be interpreted carefully, without exaggerating what could not be clearly seen. Vehicle identification became the next step. Investigators compared the car seen in the footage to known vehicles reported in the area, narrowing the field through make, model, and visible damage. That process led to the identification of a suspect vehicle, information that was later corroborated by witness statements and digital records. Phone data analysis revealed that Anaya's phone continued to move after her stop at the gas station. The signal traveled south, away from Auburn, following a route that matched the location where her car was eventually found. That movement confirmed what the footage implied, that she left the gas station with someone else. Digital trails extended beyond her phone. The suspect's phone records showed proximity to Ania's device during the relevant time window, and those records were obtained through legal process, reviewed and verified. This convergence of data did not explain why events unfolded as they did, but it established that they did. The suspect was identified as Ibrahim Yazid, a man with a prior criminal history that was documented and accessible through court records. His presence in the area was confirmed through multiple sources, including surveillance footage from other locations and witness accounts that placed him in Auburn that night. Ania's vehicle was found abandoned in Montgomery, approximately 60 miles from the gas station. The location was significant because it matched the trajectory suggested by phone data. Inside the car, investigators found personal items that belonged to Ania, further confirming that the vehicle had been driven by someone else after she left the gas station. As I reviewed the evidence logs, I noted the care taken in documenting each item recovered. There was no narrative imposed on the findings, only descriptions, locations, and conditions. That discipline allowed later conclusions to rest on solid ground, rather than inference. The search for Ania intensified, expanding to rural areas identified to digital analysis and tips. Ground searches were conducted, and aerial support was used where terrain allowed. Each search area was selected based on evidence rather than speculation, reflecting the investigative standard applied throughout the case. On November 25, 2019, human remains were discovered in a wooded area in Macon County, Alabama. The location had been identified through information obtained during the investigation, and the discovery was documented according to protocol. The remains were later identified through forensic examination as belonging to Ania Blanchard. The cause of death was determined through autopsy, with findings documented in medical examiner reports. Those findings were consistent with homicide, and they provided factual closure on the question of what had happened, even as they left emotional questions unanswered. Yazid was arrested and charged with capital murder, among other charges. Court records show that the charges were based on the evidence collected, including surveillance footage, phone data, and forensic findings. The legal process moved forward through hearings and motions, each step recorded and accessible. Throughout this phase, the role of recorded evidence remained central. The case did not rely on confession or eyewitness accounts alone, but on a network of verifiable data points that collectively established responsibility. The final phase of the case unfolded in courtrooms rather than search fields, and the language shifted from investigation to adjudication. I followed the proceedings through official records, noting how evidence was presented and challenged within the structure of the legal system. In 2022, Ibrahim Yazid entered a guilty plea to the capital murder of Anaya Blanchard. The plea eliminated the need for a trial, but it did not alter the factual record established by the investigation. Court transcripts show that the plea was accepted after review by the judge, with sentencing determined according to law. Yazid was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. That outcome was documented formally, closing the legal chapter of the case. The sentence reflected the severity of the crime as defined by statute, not by public sentiment. Anaya Blanchard's case led to legislative changes in Alabama, including the passage of Anaya's Law, which expanded judges' authority to deny bail for certain violent offenses. The law was enacted through the legislative process, with records available detailing its development and passage. From an investigative perspective, the case stands as an example of how digital evidence and surveillance footage can establish movement and association without providing emotional context. The records show where devices traveled, when vehicles moved, and how timelines intersected, but they did not explain intent beyond what was legally established. What remains in the file is a complete chain of documentation, from initial missing person reports to final sentencing orders. Each document serves a specific purpose, contributing to a factual account that does not change with retelling. Anaya Blanchard is recorded in those documents as a victim of homicide, identified through forensic means, and remembered through verified accounts of her life before the crime. The case is closed in the legal sense, with no pending appeals altering the outcome at the time of this review. When I close the file, I do so with the understanding that the facts are settled, even if the impact is ongoing for those who knew her. The record does not speculate, and neither do I. It states what happened, how it was established, and how it concluded, and then it ends.